Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Here's the thing, right? I am a sports guy. Like, I love sports. So I grew up playing sports all my life. I'm one of eight. Middle boy, so I'm the fourth boy, fifth child, so I have three brothers and four sisters, and we all played sports. Now, whether we were good or not, that's up for debate. But the thing that I love about sports is that when you have a team, you will cheer for that team, and I know in America we say root, and that's something different here in Australia, but we support the team, right? And so Pittsburgh Steelers is a gridiron team that I love. They're black and yellow. And I can tell you, Kelly probably entered into a world where if the Steelers are on, my attention span is like, hey, babe, I love you. The kids are still breathing. They're alive. But could you sort them out for the next 3 hours? Because the Steelers are on, right? And there is no shame in my interpretation of how I cheer, how I stand up off of the couch, and I'll yell at the TV as if they can hear me. I will say things like, are you kidding me? What? Oh, you have to, you know, whatever it may be, I am unashamed. And why I showed those photos, because I actually wanted to see who was unashamed to show their support. There's a method to the madness. So today we're going to talk about undignified praise. Undignified praise. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we first want to thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are in control. We thank you that there is nothing that we can do or say that will catch you off guard. There is nothing that can surprise you. And that everything that happens, it happens for a reason. And so today we pray that as we talk about having undignified praise, that there will be a revelation that is received and there will be an understanding that it is our responsibility to praise. It is your desire to receive praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 6. Verse 14 to 23, and just kind of give you guys a little feedback of how I am wired. I love to take the things of the spiritual and make them practical, because it's great that we read the Bible and we are like, oh God, I want more of your word, I want more of your word. But if we don't have an understanding of how to apply it to our everyday life, we're just getting download, right? So, with that being said, it says, and David was dancing before Yahweh with all his strength, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel were bringing up the ark of Yahweh with shouting and the sound of the trumpet. Then it happened, as the ark of Yahweh came into the city of David, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before Yahweh, and she despised him in her heart. Next. And they brought in the ark of Yahweh and placed it in its place inside the tent, which David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before Yahweh. Then David completed offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings. And he blessed the people in the name of Yahweh of hosts. And he apportioned to all the people, to all the multitude of Israel, both to men and women, a cake of bread and one of dates and one of raisins to each one. Then all the people went each to his house, but David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how the king of Israel has, you jumped too fast for me, has glorified himself today. Next. He uncovered himself today in the eyes of his servants, maids, as one of the worthless ones shamelessly uncovers himself. So David said to Michal, It was before Yahweh who chose me over your father and above all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of Yahweh, over Israel. Therefore, I will celebrate before Yahweh. And I will be esteemed even more lightly than this and will be humble in my own eyes. But with the maids of whom you have spoken, with them I will be glorified. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. Now, the thing that really stood out to me in that was the fact that David was celebrating. He was praising to the point to where he did not care what he looked like, what he sounded like, and who was around because the Ark of the Covenant was coming into his house. So you got to understand, he was celebrating because the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. So he was celebrating, he was dancing, you know, whatever, you know, dance moves, whatever. All the way to the point to where his clothing fell off and he was exposed. Has anyone ever danced that hard to where? Okay. We're not going to say that that's going to happen today, but all I want you to understand is that the response that his wife Michal gave was, "You look like a fool. You look like an idiot. You're supposed to be the king. You're the king of Israel, and you just lowered yourself to the lowest grade of people. How dare you?" And I love the response that David gave, which, you know, just pointing out, by the way, I'm the guy that God the Father, Yahweh, appointed over your father. Tap. Second, I'm doing this because I will be humbled. It's not promoting me, it's actually promoting him. So now I'm gonna ask you the question, are you willing to praise in every situation in life? Point one, praise when we have and when we have not. Now, I'm going to shoot through some scriptures. They're not going to be on the screen, but if you want to write them down, you can for reference. Philippians 4, verse 4 through 20, it talks about, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your considerate spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is dignified, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, consider these things." I also want to read from 1 Thessalonians 5. It says, "See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, praying without ceasing in everything you give, for this is God's will for your life in Christ Jesus." Now, the thing about this is that praising when you have and when you have not. Philippians 4, verse 4 through 20, I didn't read the entire thing, but it literally breaks down how when we are lacking something, we should praise. When we have things, we should praise. Everything that has breath should praise. I know you guys can actually talk because I already heard you cheering. Yay and boos and all that good stuff. So don't be afraid to talk back to me. I'm from the South in the United States. I grew up in the old school Pentecostal church where the pastor sometimes spoke like this. But then when he wasn't on the platform, he talked like me. So I don't get it. I don't understand. There's like the little switch, but I won't do that. I will talk normal to you, but you can, you know, give me an amen. You can give me a, I hear you, preacher. You can give me, come on, somebody. You can even give one of Pastor Steve's favorite slogans. He says, oh, man, you're slipping on some oil. That means that you're anointed. So, yeah, so in a nutshell, what I want you guys to understand, and this is something that I've had to work on, and I think something that we all have to work on, is that no matter the situation that we are in, we should give the Father praise. Because when we're in those situations, we may not be able to see why we're in them. But when we recognize, okay, I'm here. Father, you're protecting me, but you're exposing something. You're revealing something. I'm getting a revelation of something. You're increasing my wisdom in something. So let me go ahead and praise you for that. I may not know what the outcome is, but I'm going to praise you in advance because I know that your word says that all things work together for the good of those who are in Christ Jesus. So because I'm in Christ, I'm going to praise him in every situation that I go through. Now, when I have, I'm going to praise him. When I don't have, I'm going to praise him. And some of you may be thinking, why would you praise him for the things that you don't have? And I'm going to simply say, thank you for asking. I'm going to tell you. There are some things that the Father has held from me and has held from you because it's for your health. Because if we had everything that we wanted, we would be destroyed. We would be destroyed. Because we, in our own fickle minds and our hearts, we cannot handle all of the glory of the Father. And he loves us so much to where he will hold back things so that we can actually grow and mature in the right timing. And as we grow and mature in the have-nots, he can then trust us in the have. Yeah, point number two. Praise because we are his sons and daughters. Oh my gosh, this is a tough one, but it's a good one. Because a lot of times we don't recognize that we are his sons and his daughters. And we sing that song, you're a good, good father, it's who you are. But we don't recognize him as a father. We don't recognize him and embrace him as our father because we don't have the revelation that we are his sons and his daughters. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 says, but you are a chosen family, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Ephesians 1:3-6 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love, by predestining us to adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he graciously bestowed on us in the beloved. Now that right there lets me know that I have a reason to praise. True story, very, just a reality for my life, right? So my parents, yes, they have 8 kids. And I am, yep, like I said, number 4 in boys, number 5 in birth. My father, my natural father, present, physically, in the house, in the home, there. But the reality is, emotionally, he was not there. Now, as I mature, I recognize that, you know, there are desires that we have as children to where it's like, oh, I really wish that my dad would be here, and I really wish that my mom would do this, and I really wish, I wish, I wish, I wish. And then, of course, because they're not there in the way that we want them to be, not knowing all of the different elements that they're having to go through, we put a definition of who they are. But with that being said, as a year zero to 12 years old, my desire was to be with my dad, to have just this relationship to where it's like, man, I see how he responds to my oldest brother, my second oldest brother, my third oldest brother. Why is it different with me? Right? So with that being said, I did not have the understanding of all of the different elements that he had to go through, but I made a defined moment to say, Dad doesn't love me the way that he loves my brothers. And the reality of it is, you know, my father, he's kind of what we call a shade tree mechanic. And what a shade tree mechanic is that there's no certification, but he knows how to put a car under a tree, put a hitch on it, and, you know, pull the engine out, take the engine apart, boom, boom, boom. So hence the word shade tree mechanic. He also did roofing, also did all these type of things. And my mom would be like, you know, Joshua, go out there and work with your dad. Oh, why, Mom? He doesn't want me to work in there. He doesn't. So you got to understand, I was forced to go hang out with my dad when my dad, all I wanted him was to invite me. But because he didn't invite me, I was like, oh, there's a gap. But when I got saved, one of the prayers that I prayed, which is one of the first prayers I prayed, I said, Father, I said, God, you got to be my dad because my dad is really not my dad. And I said that as a 12-year-old. And of course, year after year after year, he's revealed to me that my father is actually my father, just like he in heaven is my father. But there had to be a revelation to understand that I am both their son. Did you hear what I said? And no matter what, my father here on earth loves me and will take a bullet for me. Just like my father in heaven would take a cross for me. So we need to be able to praise knowing that we are his sons and his daughters. And he loves us unconditionally, no matter what we started with, no matter where we currently are, and no matter where we will be. He still loves us. Is that good for anyone? Yes. Next point, praise in our serving. Let me first foremost say that I apologize to the kids team. I am a parent, and on Sundays, we check our two little munchkins in, and they go up there, and they just rant and rave and do all of the above. And I have yet to put my name down on the roster to actually serve in the kids ministry. So I want to publicly say in front of everybody, if you have kids like me and they go to kids' church like mine, get your children's check done and serve at least 3 times a year in the kids' ministry. Notice I didn't say 52. Because if every parent gets a children's check and get all the proper stuff done, and if you actually just serve 3 times a year, every parent, we could spread that across the year to where Lisa and the team could participate in what we call big church. That was so quiet. There was just no praise on that. The Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. So if we were to take this building as an entity that says this is the presence, this is where God lives, this is where he operates. And when we enter in, we should be entering in with, oh, it's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Oh, it's so good to see you, Bishop Reverend Deacon Tawanda.
Hallelujah.
Hey. No matter where you serve, Your posture should be a posture of praising and joy. Right? Now, I know I brought up the kids' ministry, but that's just a conviction that I have. And in January, I will serve there. But I'm just saying, I'm leaving in Feb, but don't, I'll serve. You're going to get one Sunday out of me. But what I'm saying, no matter if you serve at the front door greeting, no matter if you are a host, no matter if you're on the praise and worship team, no matter if you're in the sound booth, no matter if you're in the kids ministry, no matter if you're doing a devotional and encounter service, which you all should be here, just like that's the heart of this house, this covenant family. So that 9 o'clock prayer is so crucial for us. But when we come, we should come with a spirit of joy, thanksgiving, and praise. There is a reality that some people did not wake up today. And some people come and they serve, and because they've served 13 weeks straight, just the reality. The joy of the Lord. Joy of the Lord is my strength. Come on, everyone, just join with me as we sing this song, the joy of the Lord. No, it doesn't work that way. So in all of our serving, we should serve from a place that where people know that we are his sons and we are his daughters. I'm going somewhere with this, and that we will serve him when we have and when we have not. Because in all things, we will make a loud shout to Yahweh, all the earth. Serve Yahweh with gladness. Come before his presence with joyful songs. Know that Yahweh, he is God, and it is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pastures. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. There should be an influx of serving certificates and, you know, requests. So the team should increase, Pastor Steve and Pastor Candace, you know, because people are, we don't serve when we just come to church and listen. I'm sorry. Let me just keep moving. Praise when we go through challenges. Has anyone ever been through a challenge? So 7 people. That's good. Yep. Cool. So I'll ask that again. Has anyone ever been through a challenge? Yeah, we all have. We all have. And you know what? Those who sow in tears shall reap in shouts of joy. Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith brings about perseverance, and let perseverance have its perfect work so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory, honor and revelation of Jesus Christ. I have been through so much. You have been through so much. We have been through so much, but guess what? We're here. Father, we're here. Through everything we face, everything that we've gone through, we praise you because we are still here. Yeah. Some of us are getting it. And I pray that by the end of this, all of us will get it, that we will go through tests and trials. But it is for our good. Consider it joy. Kelly and I, we're currently reading through the book of Acts. And it's just mind-blowing sometimes, you know, because we're doing this whole stewarding the church that God is planting in San Diego. I don't like to say we're planting a church because it's God who builds the church and all that. I just feel like we're supposed to steward it. But we're reading through Acts, and obviously, you know, because Acts is kind of like when the initial church starts, right? The expression of church. And man, we were reading through Acts 4, and it was like, you know, Paul and they were like called up, and they were like, hey, if you keep talking about Jesus and you keep talking about all this stuff, we're going to take you out. We're just going to, hey, you know what? Let's bring them in, put them in jail. You know what? Okay, someone comes and be like, hey, if what they're saying is true, then you know what? You can't stop it. But if what they're saying is false, then it'll fall to the wayside. So let's not do anything, right? But this is what I love. They straight up beat Paul. Like gang violence. Ugh. Boom, 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 beat him up. And guess what? They said, don't you go and talk about Jesus ever again. And guess what, Paul? Who was it with Paul? Silas. Paul and Silas. They came out of being beat up, black eyes, bloody lip, bruised ribs, messed up ankle and knees. And they were like, hey, guess what? Jesus is so good. Yeah. He's so powerful. Hey, they just beat us up for talking about Jesus. And guess what we're still going to do? Talk about Jesus. I read that and I was just like, God, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry for going through some people talking about my hairstyle. I'm sorry that I felt bad. Now, please know that everyone, we all go through different things. And I'm not belittling what we go through. But I don't want to assume, but I don't know how many people here have been arrested and then beat down physically and then told, don't talk about your faith. And then they get out of that and they go and talk about their faith. That's the type of boldness that we should have when we go through challenges. Yes, I'm facing a boss that I don't necessarily like. Yes, my family are treating me in areas that I don't necessarily like. Yes, I am challenged in this area of my life where I just feel like I'm constantly being attacked in this area. But Father, I praise you anyway. Because what we don't realize is that on the other side of our praise, there's someone that needs to hear our testimony. Oh, praise for your breakthrough. I love that, Erin has named her business Joshua Hair and Beauty. Great name, by the way. If I do say so myself, Joshua. And, hair, for someone that desires to have hair, but doesn't grow here, but I grow it out here. But one thing that I do love is that the breakthroughs that come, and this is, I don't know if any of you have ever been to a salon or a barbershop, which hopefully all of us have at some point. If you haven't, you should. And if you're ever in Vietnam, go to Joshua's Hair and Beauty. But if we notice in a barbershop or a salon, it's like a counseling session. People open up and they tell you everything from their shirt size to their shoe size, what their cousin, auntie, uncle, brother, sister, mama, and daddy did when they were 3 months old all the way to when they were 47 years old. And somehow, when you have a believer as your solace, and sometimes it's just bystanders that are listening, you can get the breakthrough that you need because they will feel that unction of the Holy Spirit and they will speak and say, hey, do you mind if I give you some advice? You can actually get breakthrough if you do this. And the reason why I know is because I've gone through similar things. And here's why, another reason why I like Joshua, because in the Bible, when God told Joshua to march around the walls of Jericho, he said 6 times, silent, nothing. But on the 7th day, go around 7 times. And on that 7th time, I want the trumpets and horns to blow, and then I want you to give a shout. Not a, oh, Jesus, we love you, Father God. Could you bring down the walls of Jericho for us? It was a shout. It was a shout of boldness. It was a shout of praise. And guess what? The walls of Jericho came down and they were overtaken by Joshua and the army. And everyone was destroyed except for those that were promised that they would have safety. So we need to understand that sometimes our breakthrough is not on, and please hear my heart when I say this, it's not on our knees crying and saying, oh God, please help me. Bring me through. I worship you. Sometimes it's, Father, I know who you are. And I know who I am. And I know that what I'm facing is only sent here to perfect me. So I praise you for what I'm going through because I know that what you're taking me to is better. So I praise you in advance, not knowing the outcome. I praise you in advance because I know you are good. I praise you for the breakthrough because I know you are good. Now, here's the thing. We culturally... I grew up in, it's a country church. My uncle was the pastor, and, you know, and the definition was apostolic Pentecostal. So, you know, we had the full on, like, you know, all that good stuff. And there would be moments where it would just be a praise party, like it would break out. And y'all got to understand, there were times where it just be like, I would not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because he's good. Freedom. I'm just trying to tell y'all right now, some of us are still going through what we've been going through for the last 13, 14, 15 years because we're holding back our praise. We're leaning into the worship side, the emotional side, and I'm just trying to help you here. It's biblical. There's scripture to back it up. But everyone can't worship. But everyone can praise. When we worship the Father, we have to worship him in spirit and in truth, which means that we have to accept him as Lord and Savior. But we can praise him and live like Billy and Sally, who went to the whatever last night, because there's an understanding, wait, I'm here. I can thank God. I can say, whoa, wait, it was God that protected me. It was the Father. It was, I don't know who this is, but you're telling me, let me just praise him. Oh, you don't believe that everything that has breath has to praise the Lord? The Father wants us to praise him. He does not want us to be ashamed, and we cannot suppress the praise. The scripture even says in Luke 19 that if the disciples were to be stopped in their praise, that the rocks would cry out. I don't know about y'all, but I refuse to allow a rock that has no life to praise on my behalf. So when you saw me running around, you may think, Jay Long is crazy. That man, he must have a degree in psychology, which I do. And they say everyone that has degrees in psychology are crazy, which is probably true. But I am unashamed. There is nothing that you can do or say to make me doubt the goodness of my Father. So I will praise him, and I'm like David. I will look even more undignified than this. If this means that I'm getting my breakthrough, if this means that I may die like Paul with a thorn in my side, but because of my praise in my situation, my kids will have breakthrough that they won't have to go through something that I've had to go through. Sometimes we have to get out of the selfish mindset, me, me, me. And think about the kingdom aspect of, Father, who do you want me to reach today? And how can I reach that person? If I have to praise and look like a fool, then so be it. Because here's the reality. Before I walked with the Christ, I walked with the devil. And I had no shame when I walked with the devil. I was actually very confident in what I was doing, saying, and how I was acting when I was not saved. But somehow, religion, the lies of the enemy, has told us that once we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we have to be pristine. Not only is the inside of your body clean, your heart clean, but you got to look clean and put together on the outside. But who told you that? That's not what God says. Who told you that when you say, Jesus, I accept you as Lord and Savior, that you now have to change your expression of joy? Because whether you believe it or not, before you were saved, before I was saved, I had joy. I had happiness. It was just pointed toward the wrong thing. And now that I have Jesus, my joy should be on steroids. People should know that I am a Christ follower. Now, when I'm saying this, and I know my time's getting short, but when I'm saying this, I'm not saying that you got to go around saying, Jesus, 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 you need Jesus, we need Jesus, I need Jesus, we all need Jesus. Come to Jesus. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. Well, I'm not telling you that you got to do that. But what I am telling you is that when people come close to you and they're in your proximity, they should know that there's a difference. They should know by how you speak, how you act, how you live. There's a difference. And it makes them ask questions. How are you able to smile when they're laying people off at our jobs? Because I know who the provider is. How are you able to smile when you just lost loved ones? Because the reality is, I know that my loved ones walk with Jesus. And so now they're living with Jesus. So I smile. And I smile and I pray for those that don't know Jesus will come to know Jesus.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.